Welcome to Musically and Technically Speaking, a podcast where music and technology intersect, hosted by Brenda Minch and Carol Broves. Today is episode number one. We will be discussing composing with our students. My name is Brenda Minch, and
this is Carol Broves.
And I am a kindergarten through third grade music teacher, and also I do halftime tech integration. Carol, what do you do?
A lot of people ask that. I teach fourth through eighth grade music. I hate the word genre music, so I just use the word music because it's anything and everything that has to do with music. So I have a lab just like you do in your music room. So we do a lot of technology and a lot of performing, just like you do.
Excellent. So we thought it might be kind of fun. We do these calls once every other week or every week if we can. Right. And we've been having some pretty interesting conversations. We thought other people might benefit from hearing our interesting conversations.
And our laughter.
right? We talk about things related to technology and things going on in our music classes. Sometimes we use this time to plan projects that we've decided to try out with each other's classes.
We do a lot of testing, too, to make sure things are working before we actually bring it out to the students.
Right, because it's always easier to feel discombobulated with one person as opposed to with 60 people.
Right, and the students all staring at you, and you're like, ah!
Exactly.
As Brenda would say, girl.
Exactly. So today we thought we would talk a little bit. Well, first of all, I bought the Pamela call recorder to record our Skype calls. I think it was like $25.
And I found out it only works on PC.
Yes. And apparently, I think there are other options out there. But I just know that Dean Tresky and his guys, when they do their little EdTech Posse calls, this is what they're using. So I figure if it works for them, we might as well someone else do the testing.
Right.
And
something sort of cool about us, too. I'm a Mac person, and you're a...
I'm a PC person. I don't know anything about a Mac, except for that I've seen Carol's and that...
I'm pretty much the same way, Brenda. I don't know anything about a PC, and...
and yeah,
and I should say this, I know yours is pink.
Right. That's what we know. See, that is what we have in common. Doesn't matter what kind of computer it is, as long as it's mostly pink, then it will be fine. Right now, Carol is doing classes for her, she won a Golden Apple.
Right.
And you're doing classes at where?
Northwestern.
And she's been plurking and twittering about that a lot. So I thought we'd talk about that first.
Okay.
So, Carol?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting, me being the student. I realized something about myself. I like hands-on a lot more than just sitting and talking. I never really realized that, and I think that that's sometimes with my students that are very into tech and into music, I can see why they do so well sometimes in my class, because I do a lot of hands-on, like you do a lot of hands-on.
Right.
We don't talk about it too much, except through our blogging and through some of the Web 2.0 stuff.
Right.
And so that's sort of where I'm at. I haven't talked to you. You don't know anything about my super, well, you only saw me on my Plurk and my Twitter.
Right.
About this exciting child that came and dropped into my lap.
The genius child.
I can barely talk about it. I hope I don't start crying. I had this child who in fourth grade, they have to write their songs. They have to be able to play them on their band instrument. And Sandy McLeod, who's out in Vermont, the Vermont Media Project, emailed me an emergency email because she has a class of 9 students at University of Vermont, and she needed 9 compositions for her students to look at that were student-generated and that they could comment on and do. So I immediately, through my Skyping, because I'm on sabbatical, Skyped into my classroom, and I had some kids that were there, and they took the challenge, and in 4 days, during lunch recess, this whole connecting thing is so amazing. Through that little connecting, they worked on their files. I mean, I'm not at school. And so I came to school on Friday, and this child was really focused, that he had not, couldn't play the song. That was his whole thing. Well, Mrs. Frost, I can't play my song. I can't play it. And I said, well, that's okay. I don't care. You know, Sandy needs something.
Right. Just get her some stuff.
So he pops this little jump drive in. He had gotten the software he wanted for his birthday, March 11th. This is now the 12th or something of April. And he wrote 23 pages for 9 instruments.
Holy cow. And he didn't have anything to show her, huh?
Well, he was concerned he couldn't play it.
Well, of course, because you can't play 9 instruments.
Right! So, you know, we need to listen to our students sometimes. We don't, you know, and I was like, okay, go. You know, I'm like you, Brenda, you know, okay, sounds great. You know, move on. And I sat down, and when I heard the song, I cried. I will get the link to you, and maybe we can post it somewhere. I did post the whole composition. It's unbelievable. He's got 9 parts with 9 different melodies, and they all work.
Wow.
It's so amazing. I took it to Northwestern. I had 2 of the professors look at it, and Peter Webster, he does a lot of stuff with composition work, was totally amazed at it. He wants to dissect it, and we're looking at doing a study and some cool things with how kids revise their compositions without
teacher guidance.
Yes. How they listen to their stuff and they know what's right. Because, you know, music is very different from writing. You know, there's so much grammar in writing, and in music, it's all notes. And, you know, how much did Mozart really have someone look at? How much did Beethoven? You know, they knew what they wanted. And, you know, thinking back on your compositions, Brenda, you know what you want.
Right.
And I know what I want. And how does that process work with a child? And so we're looking to do like a study. I'm going to do a sort of a pre-study, since I've never really done a study before, sort of a pre-study this year with a full-blown study next year using my students and how they revise their compositions.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about it, because apparently there's nothing done on this, because so much of it is teacher involvement in their compositions.
Right. So you're kind of looking at how kids compose in the wild.
Exactly. And you see it every day. I'm sure you have stories, not to this extent, but you have stories of students who you can't even believe, and they give you something, and you just are, like, awed by it.
Yeah, and you know what's great about that is that it only takes, like, one instance of you going, whoa, for that kid to be, you know, working on their own. I had a kid, I don't know, like 2 years ago, at the end of music class one day, I said, you know what, guys, if you ever, like, write a little song, because that's my thing, if they come in singing some little song, I'll pull them over to the computer and we'll make the recording, goes up on the web, because I don't have the whole piano thing, so we just do everything vocally.
Which is great.
Right, but we don't ever notate it, then we just, you know, just like, I tell them, this is how people who work in, like Nashville or, you know, in rock and roll, they don't all notate their music. They come in, they sing it for people, and people go, okay, and they put stuff to go with it, and then that's how it is. Maybe it never gets written down in notes. And so we make our little recording, and then, you know, you get that little bit of instant stardom there, because now you're on the web with your little song. But I had one kid 3 years ago who I think there was not a week where he did not come in with some other new song where he'd written the lyrics, because that was my thing. It can't sound like any other song I've ever heard.
Right, you know, right.
We're not allowed to plagiarize. And,
original.
Yeah, and he just went crazy. And by the end of the year, I think we had a good, like, 15 or 20 songs that he had written that were up on the web, and his mom came in and said, hey, could we make a little CD of those, because I'd like to send them to his grandma. I mean, what third grader has our own CD at the end of a year? That's just craziness.
See, Brenda, that's exactly it. I mean, and I think both of us are yes teachers. You know, we see a glimmer, and we try to make it happen.
Well, that was no part, I mean, that wasn't done during class. That was all done at home. This was just the kid feeling really motivated to do something. So,
yeah, but you gave him the opportunity to do something like that.
Right.
At time. I mean,
well,
okay,
and I think it was the opportunity to get that stuff down, you know what I mean, to record it, because otherwise, especially not being able to notate it, there's no way to make that stick.
Right.
So.
And it is amazing. I mean, didn't you have 2 years ago? You had that little group of 4 boys that made your own website,
right?
They did the same type of thing, pretty much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I know that's going to be exciting, and you know, we'll see how that all comes to pass, because I think that's my exciting thing that I'm working on. So, and I'm telling you, I really committed on trying to make Web 2.0 available, even though I'm on sabbatical, that I'm not away from my students.
Okay. Well, I think that's the way to do it, because then you don't end up losing all of your connection with your class.
No. And I'm going in two or three times a week. I mean, I'm not sabbaticalizing like they think they sabbatical. I can't. I got some students, you know. I gotta be in. And I told this little kid, too, little Jack, I said, Jack, okay, so you pick this moment. I'm on sabbatical. And now this is your moment, you know. But right. As Peter Webster said, well, you know what? Maybe this is the best. He's got to work by himself, you know. I mean,
right. You're not there to hold his hand.
This is what technology has done. I mean, you and the recording, just grabbing the kid over on the spot, you can record stuff. I mean, think about this. 25 years ago, we would have sat down ourselves and tried to notate this.
Right, because that was the only option. How do you get it? Well, I guess maybe we could have put it into a tape player.
Yeah, but then I did that. I had the kids write compositions. Then you had to get the tape going, and then it broke. I don't know about you, but I had to. I even showed my students how to splice because the tape broke so many times. We all had to do repair. We were doing tech support then.
Right.
You know? So, and I would, what kids would do is they would record stuff, and I would go home and notate everything.
Oh, wow. See, that's why I have, before the computer got into my room, I never got into composition, because I just don't have, and my ear's not the greatest. I'll be honest. I don't have, ear training in college was horrible for me. I hated it.
Yeah, so did I. I had a hard time, too.
It's gotten better, but kids don't compose things that are nice, quarter and eighth note patterns.
No, we got lots of syncopation. I've had students come to me with stuff, and they have a certain thing in their ear. I had, actually, Leah, she's an eighth grader, when she was in fifth grade, and I'm telling you, I recorded it, and it took me a half hour and I would go over and over and over. I had like 16 different ways to try to notate it, and she finally, like on number 16, said, that's what it is. I mean, it took 16, but I was sitting with her, and it was very difficult because it was a really hard rhythm.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the notes, it was the rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, I think the notes we can get, it's that rhythm that really ties you up.
Right. But when I was judging at contest, solo ensemble contest a couple weeks ago, we had one of the piano room judges come in at lunch and say, how do you handle, or is it legal for a kid to play his own composition at contest? And I said, well, because we'd had this problem before at the high school. When I first started teaching my first 5 years, we had a kid who was really talented, and he actually got published. He published percussion music, and it's for sale on Pepper.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But he was writing stuff because he wanted to do percussion ensembles in high school, but he didn't like any of the arrangements that were out there, so he started writing his own percussion ensembles. His stuff was hard, though, but the reason he wanted to do it was that he wanted specific instruments to play specific things because he knew which kids he had available to him to make the song work.
And he knew it was in his mind. He knew.
Right. But because he was a percussionist, rhythm was not a problem for him, right? He knew exactly how to notate the rhythm so that it sounded like what he wanted. But the problem with this kid was that he had written his song using the basic quarter eighth note patterns, but he was not playing what he had written. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he was playing what he heard in his head, but he was not playing what he had written on the page. So someone had not taken him aside to say, hey, those rhythms don't jive. You know, you've got to make that work. And I think I don't know if he put it into a finale or a Sibelius and then listened to it. Because I think that wouldn't that have, made him go, hey, wait a second, that's not exactly how I'm playing it.
Right.
But so the judge was saying, well, how do I score that? And I said, there's only one way to score that for contest. You've got to, your point of reference is the page. And so if he's not playing the rhythm he wrote down the page, you got to lower the score. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like more information on any of the topics we discussed, all the links are on the blog.